grace and miraculous power come now through the power of your Holy Spirit. And open our minds and our hearts and our lives to your inspiration so that we may be transformed and empowered to go forth sharing your good news with all people. Amen. So in our modern world, we have created a significant gap between farm and table, field and grill, process and people, and too often we fail to appreciate the artistry and impact a single individual can make in the life of our community. And our text today puts a magnifying glass on true interconnected realities, and that is faith and service. And both of these are required for sustaining our community and for our faithful witness in the world. Well, last week we talked about Paul and his conversion. Today we encounter Peter as he continues to grow in his understanding of the power of God at work in him and his leadership within the nascent Christian church. Peter finds himself away from Jerusalem on the coastal plains. In today's world, Joppa would be a part of the modern day Tel Aviv in Israel. And this was a significant city. It was a port city that had a main harbor, was one of the main harbors in the Mediterranean. And Peter is visiting the region and comes to a city named Lydda, which is northwest of Jerusalem, on his way to Joppa. And there he encounters a paralyzed man, and he heals him. So Peter's act of faith in healing this person then turns the entire city towards God. His act of faith in healing this individual becomes a witness for the power of God at work in him and through him. And there is value we learn in sharing with others the things that God has done in our lives. You may remember that oftentimes Jesus, when he healed people, they were tempted to go and follow him, but he sends them back home. He sends them to the people who knew them in their former state. He sends them to the priests and the Levites and to their community. And in some way, in sending them back to their community, he is inviting them to share the new life and the new thing that God has done for them. I think that there are times when we feel afraid or embarrassed to share our witness or our testimony about what are the things that God has done for us. But when we do that, when we share what God has done in our lives, we help others to be encouraged in their faith. We help others understand that sometimes the people that we used to be, they are no longer there. They have been transformed. The good news for many of us is that God has worked in our lives. If you met young Jefferson, perhaps you would not recognize them today. And that is a good thing for all of us, that the power of God is indeed at work. So Peter's actions help the whole community turn to the Lord. What do others see in us helps them turn themselves to God. And this may be a hard question for us to consider, but what does our life say about the faith we preach? What do my daily actions say about the faith that I preach? What does my driving say about the faith that I preach? What does my relationship with my wife and children and with friends say about the faith that we preach? And it's important for us to keep that in mind, because at times our lives is the only Bible somebody may read. So now we turn the page, and the text that we read today, we see an extraordinary miracle take place. Miracles in the times of Jesus and the early disciples were not uncommon, but they were extraordinary. In the days of the early church, miracles happened very often, and every time they happened, we saw something amazing at work. They demonstrated the power of God at work in and through and even despite people. When we think about miracles in the New Testament, we need to think about road signs and guideposts that lead others to God. Miracles also serve as fuel for faith. They compel witnesses to believe in a powerful God who is able and willing to intervene in our lives and on situations on our behalf. So miracles are extraordinary, and the raising of one from the dead leads the charge. Luke, the author, tells us that beyond the resurrection of Jesus, only three times we see somebody being raised from the dead in his writings. First is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, when Jesus raises the widow's son. Then in Luke 8, when Jesus raises Jairus' son. And then in Acts 20, when Paul preaches a sermon that is so long and so boring that a young man falls off the second-story window of a building and he dies. So whatever you may think about my preaching, until somebody falls off a window and dies, I think that we are okay. So now we have Peter encountering Tabitha, who falls ill and dies. And this is an extraordinary woman, as Joel shared in his children's moment. She's the only woman in the entire writing of Luke that he refers to as a disciple. Her work empowered others, comforted others, and supported her community. The disciples in Joppa knew that Peter was nearby, only 12 miles away, and they sent word to him to come quickly. Come, because this beloved sister of ours is sick, and she is actually already dead. And they tell Peter to come. And what does that say about their faith? They send word for Peter to come because she has already died. Not that she was sick, she had already passed away. And Peter arrives in Joppa. He is faced with a community that is in mourning. They are weeping, showing him all of the things that Tabitha had made for them. And Peter puts them out of the house. Because sometimes in order for us to be in touch with the Spirit within us and to follow what God needs us to do, we need to remove the distractions that are around us. And Peter does that. And he commends Tabitha with a statement that is no different than things that we say every day and that we hear in a daily basis. He says, "Wake up, arise, stand up." Peter acted in faith. And on the basis of this miracle, many have then came to believe in the Lord. Friends, when Peter says, "Tabitha, get up," he is not offering a gentle suggestion. He is issuing a command grounded in faith, a divine imperative that breaks the silence of death and summons life where hope had already expired. And when she rises, she does not return to ease or to escape. She returns to her life of service. She returns to her community, to the work God had already been doing in and through her hands. The miracle is not just that Tabitha lived again. It is that she lived again for others. That her resurrection was not a private event. It was a public event for the entire community to see and witness, to testify to. And it became the very thing that turned other people towards God. Today we may not stand in an upper room in Joppa, but we stand in a world where too many people have fallen asleep. Our compassion, our courage, our conscience. We stand in a world where suffering is rampant and justice oftentimes seems to be lacking. And yet the Spirit of God speaks to us, through us, by faith, and tell us to get up, to wake up, to stand up, not just in our belief, but also in our actions. The Spirit calls us to rise in resistance to death-dealing systems and to rise in our commitment to the poor, to those who are grieving, to those who are overlooked, to those who are oppressed. And like Tabitha, our lives are to be lived out, out loud. We stitch together with good works and acts of charity that bear witness to the God who still raises what has been declared dead. To be awake, to be truly awake, is not just to notice injustice, but to confront it, to be aware of the suffering of others, and to serve them with love. To know that the resurrecting power of God is not a relic of the past, but it's a reality that can be at work in our lives still today. So friends, what is your life? What in your life is good? Is God calling you to raise up? Are there things within you that are there places in your mind or in your heart that have been hearing the whispers of God, inviting you to do more, to act in a different way, to share about the things that may be big or small that God has done for you and in you? Miracles still exist in our everyday lives. And the things that sometimes seem to be so menial for us may be grand for others. I think that oftentimes we take for granted the miracles that we see every day. The lives that are restored, the relationships that are renewed, friendships that return, the gift of literacy that we see in the lives of young children, the ability to sit with others in their time of mourning and suffering. And through our presence, God somehow begins to work and offers the other individual something that we never imagined that they would receive. Some years ago, well, many years ago now, Emma was a newborn at the time. I went on a trip with my seminary to Mozambique, not the wisest thing that I have done in my life, to live Linda with a six-month-old at home and a five-year-old and a seven-year-old, but she's a loving and forgiving woman, and here we are. And we go to Mozambique, and it is a beautiful country, but it is filled with poverty and suffering. And you walk the streets of Mozambique, and you can tell every foreigner by the car that they drive, because the locals walk. And they understand that there is, if you are born and raised in the country and you do not have access to education, you know that there is absolutely nothing that you can do other than to trust Jesus, or else you will not survive from day to day. So as a part of our trip, we go to a hospital, and I see some of the most horrifying things that I have seen in my life. We are in, and Mozambique is in East Africa, right below the thank you. The equator. This is a team sport. You may not have known that about preaching. And it's hot. And we are in this hospital, and there is no AC. There doesn't seem to be any running water. And it's a big room with beds everywhere that will remind you of mental asylums of the 30s in the U.S., and we walk in through the pediatric area, and there are kids who are receiving blood transfusions next to kids that have infections, next to kids that have God knows what. And we begin having a conversation with the people who are guiding us, and they tell us very clearly that you only come to the hospital to die. There's no other reason why you'd step foot in here. And then they begin to tell us about a faith that is able to overcome that. And one young man tells me that people tend to believe in God here in different ways that they may do in America because they know that if it's not for God, they will have nothing. Because there is no help from the government. There are not enough nonprofits to help them with anything. Therefore, it's God or death. And the church in that place in the world is thriving. And in speaking with a young man who is the son of the host who was taking us there, he shared with me that the most troubling thing that he sees when foreigners come is that they come looking for miracles, and they spend weeks there, and they miss all of it. Because they are trying to see the extraordinary, and they forget, therefore, those individuals who have absolutely nothing, just having food to eat is a miracle. Having a place to lay your bed at night is a miracle. Having a neighboring person, a neighboring tribe who does not attack you from day to day is a miracle. And they begin to witness about the ways that God is at work in their lives. And you would never expect that to get up in the morning and to have breakfast is somehow a miraculous thing. But in their lives, it is. What are the miracles that we see in our own lives? How can we share with others that the God we serve is at work in us, forming us and transforming us and leading us to live lives of service to and for and with others? That in and of itself is a miracle in today's society. The willingness to stand with somebody who is not related to you and give a minute of your day is a miracle today, and we need more of these around here. We're invited by the Holy Spirit to give more and more of ourselves, to open ourselves to the ways that God is at work in the world, the ways that God can be at work in and through us. I think it can be overwhelming to read this text in the Bible and say, I am not Peter. My uncle, who is the bishop in the Methodist Church in Brazil, says that a colleague of his, every time that he goes to a funeral, he places his hands on the body and commands the body to get up. And he asked, has that ever worked? And he said, no, but I'm going to continue to try. Sometimes we read these stories and we say, well, you know, these are really grand things. What was important about the raising of Tabitha is not just that she came back to life, is there was a community who needed her. The miracle is both the giving back life, but the continuation of her life in the community, her faith and her service. How can we live that out every day? Unfortunately, there are no easy answers, and the answer that works for me may not work for you, but God is inviting you to explore that for yourself. The thing that I know is that the invitation is for us to be present, for us to just show up and to allow God to work in and through us. So may we be found faithful, like Tabitha, like Peter, like others. May we be awakened to the Spirit and alive in service and willing to rise for the sake of others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.